This morning we have the privilege of continuing on with our West Side Stories. This morning we have Paul and Andrea Kojula sharing with us. While we were worshiping, I was thinking about this introduction, and Paul, what a wonderful man of God. And the scripture I got was, iron sharpens iron. And I tell you, he has sharpened me. Sometimes it's not a nice sharp edge, sometimes it's a little bit grating. But all in all, this man sharpens me. I love him so much. Andrea, what a wonderful, blessed woman of God she is. So let's just pray with this couple before they pray, before they share. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Paul and Andrea, for what a wonderful blessing they've been to this body, God. We ask, Lord, that you be with them as they share their testimony, their life in you, Lord, what you have done in their lives, God. And we pray, Lord, that we would receive in our hearts that what they're going to share with us, Lord, that this would help us to grow in you also, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry, my wife was being funny. Because there's so much blue out there. Anyways, well, I'm Paul and Xandria, obviously. It's kind of funny how we ended up here. It's kind of a little bit silly, actually. Steve, who I love, and I don't always understand how he works, but the Lord works through him mightily, and great things happen. And so he talked to us like a while ago about doing this, and of course, I got too busy. I didn't get back to him and tell him, no, we're too busy. We don't really have time to do this. And then we were like in a meeting with like 30 or 40 people, a leadership meeting. And he goes, and Paul and Andrew will be going the July 4th weekend. And so here we are. So as we looked at each other, dumbfounded, okay. So that's how we got up here, and so Steve must have a much bigger plan than we realize, so that's why we're here, and he sees things better than we do, obviously. So we just want to start off sharing a couple verses with you in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 6.
And I'll read it because Paul can't see this small. It says, "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess." And verse 6 says, "But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast."
So we just wanted, in verse 1 it says, fix your thoughts. And so today when we're going through sharing about our life before Christ, after Christ, with each other, and then up to now, a big part of our life we feel is just our priorities and our focus, and to keep that in mind as we go through and we share. And then in verse 6 it says, Christ is faithful if we remain hopeful, and just over and over again, Christ has proved his faithfulness to us, and just over and over again, whenever we've gotten just a little bit to the point where, oh no, what's going to happen, he gives us just that glimmer of hope, just enough so that we can go on to the next step, and we can keep pushing through things. And so that's kind of what we wanted to focus on with sharing this weekend, is just our priorities, our focus, and then our faithfulness. So did I say this weekend? You'll have to forgive me. I only got an hour's sleep last night. So every once in a while, I'm going to say something. It's not going to come out right. And just laugh and roll with it. So, and then Andrew will translate. So I'm going to start off with my history a little bit. It's not something I really like to talk about. It's something that I've moved on from. I've forgotten for the most part. The only time I ever really like to share about it is if I'm in a one-on-one ministry opportunity where someone's about to make a stupid decision that I've already made, and I would like to try and help them not make that stupid decision, because I've made a lot of them in my life. And so basically, when I was a younger man, as most young men, I was quite rebellious and doing my own thing. But fortunate for me, I always had Christian men around me, and I don't know where they came from, except for the Lord had a plan for my life. And so I was always being plugged into by Christian men, even though I wasn't really following anything they had to say. And so it started when I was a freshman in high school. That's when I first became a Christian. And I was basically, it was a Christian brigade service. It's like Boy Scouts through the church with the Bible and this kind of stuff. And you get badges and all this kind of stuff. But by this time, I had moved away from this group that was running this organization. But my freshman year, the summer before my freshman year in high school, they called me up and said, "Hey, we need a counselor. Would you like to come to and be one of our counselors at our camps?" And I'm like, okay, cool, because I was always canoeing and shooting guns and bows and arrows and this kind of stuff that all young men, young boys like to do. So I was like, all right, this is going to be great. I'll be outdoors for a couple weeks, and I'm all for it. So basically what happens is as a counselor, you go a week beforehand, and they kind of teach you and train you and bring you up. And partway through that week, I realized as I was looking around with all these other men around me, I go, you know what? There's something. Well, let me back up a little bit, rewind. Bob Nass is the guy that led this organization, and it was a pretty rustic camp, and he made like a tool shed into his office, put a desk in this tool shed. It was not very big, and that was his office, and I went into him one day, and I said, Bob, there's something that everyone here has that I don't have, and right then and there, he said, well, yeah, it's Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life, and so right then and there, I gave my life to Christ. There's like a big backpack was just lifted off me, and it was like I was walking on air. I was just floating. It was just great. And so we went through those 2 weeks. I had the best time. And then I got back home, and I was in a different city and away from the influences of these men. And then the influences of the world just took over. And basically, to make a long story short, I drank too much, drove too fast, and did a lot of stupid things. And then when I went to college, my freshman year in college, I had a roommate, and he was a Christian, kind of a whack, but it was good for me. And he wrote in glow-in-the-dark fluorescent paint, trust God above my pillow. I slept on the top bunk in a dorm. And he wrote, trust God in glow-in-the-dark fluorescent ink above my bed. So I'd come home Thursday through Saturday pretty much spinning and look up there and be spinning, seeing trust God. And then sooner or later, he invited me to a Christian retreat for a weekend, and there was a girl there actually that I was interested in. So that's how I ended up going to the stupid thing. It wasn't stupid in the long run. And one night when I was there, I just couldn't sleep. Everyone was in bed, and I was just reading the Psalms. I don't know why I was reading the Psalms, but the Lord again had a plan for my life, and I was reading the Psalms. And finally, I just got up from the area where I was supposed to be sleeping at, and I walked into like the main meeting area, and there's still a couple lights on in there, and I just sat down and kept reading. And someone, again, the Lord had a plan because someone was up. It was like 3:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Comes over, sits next to me, and he starts talking to me, and he goes, so how come you're not committed to Christ? And I go, well, because I got too much going on in my life. There's, you know, I'm not ready to. I got too much sin. I got too much, you know, I'm just not ready to truly walk. And I know what it means to be a Christian. I know what the commitment takes, and I'm just not there. And it was kind of like with, you know, going through high school and stuff, I had the little white angel, and that's what the teachers and parents and coaches saw. But then the true person was a little red guy over here that was really guiding my life and stuff. And that was really in control at this time in my life. And so I just knew that I wasn't going to be able to make a true commitment. And he looked at me and he goes, you're ready because there's nothing you can do to get you there. You just need Jesus to help you get there. And it was that night, then and there, I said, all right, God, I'm yours. Here I am. I'm going to commit my life completely to you. And that when I got home that weekend, I had to call those people that were plugging into my life through high school. There's like 6 or 7 men. I had to call them and say, hey, guess what? I really made a commitment tonight or this weekend, and I'm really going to follow Christ, and I'm there. And basically, since then, I've just been following Christ. I mean, I've had some stumbles here and there, but my life's been committed. And one of the biggest parts about that, and I guess I should back up a little bit, was when I was in that freshman year in college and I had all these different influences around me. I was kind of searching because I was a science major, so I was in some biology 1 classes, which is all about evolution, and some anthropology classes, which is all about evolution, and all these things. So I was checking this out and looking into different religions, and it wasn't until this weekend that I realized, wow, now I understand why we are here on this earth. We're here to serve Christ. We're here to follow Jesus. We're here to have fellowship with God. And it wasn't until that weekend that I realized that. And all that time beforehand, I wasn't living in that fellowship. And it wasn't until that weekend that I truly had the freedom that we are all created to have. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to my wife. She's going to share her history, which is actually a really fascinating and exciting one versus mine.
I was raised in a non-Christian family, and I call it my extended blended Jerry Springer family. We have lots of drama, and I say it's dysfunctional. My dad says it's multifunctional. But God really got a hold of my heart young. He sent us to church, or he had my work through neighbors, and my parents sent us to church with some friends. And my parents didn't go to church, but they allowed their friends to take us to church from the time we were 3 years old. And I have a twin sister and two older brothers. And they sent us to church, and when I was 5, I became a Christian, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior, and came out of my Sunday school room, and my sister had done the same thing, not knowing we had done it the same day. So I've always had that support with me throughout just growing up in a home with a non-Christian family, and having my two older brothers around where they were just lived very rebelliously, did everything they shouldn't have done, and I had that was available to me if I wanted it. It was all there, all the bad things, the bad choices. I could have made them, and God spared me and just kept me close to him. He kept me grounded in my convictions and just gave me a testimony that I'm grateful I have, and I pray the same for my girls. And now I'm going to share. I'll share my side of our love story, and then Paul can share his side. But like he said Thursday night, we're not going to embarrass each other, so I'll just share. My part, I was on high school staff at the church that we were going to, and he was on junior high staff with my sister. So I just conveniently worked it out to help out with junior high when they needed help so I could be around him too. So when they needed extra staff, then I would quickly volunteer to be there. And then we went on our first date actually just a few months later, and the rest is history.
So... And I had come to a point in my life after being through what I had come out of and what the Lord had spared me from and this and that. And I got to a point where I was pretty much reading Corinthians and some other things where I really just wanted to focus on God. I just wanted to focus on my commitment to Jesus. And I was like, you know, you read the parts where it says, you know, that if you're married, you get some worldly thoughts because you got to take care of business, of raising your family, and this and that. And I was like, no, I'm going to be committed to Christ, so I'm not going to have women in my life, and I'm going to be Paul the priest. Joking. And then I go, thank you, Lord, because I love being married, and I'm so glad that I didn't fall that way. Sheesh, I would have been miserable. But anyways... When I fell in love with Andrea, it was a little bit different. All of the staff and stuff, there's this one older guy, and he wasn't that old, but he was older than us, so he's older. So he had this house, and he was pretty well off, single guy, and so we would always hang out at his house. He had pool tables and foosball tables and, you know, the TV and all that kind of stuff. So we were always at his house, and I was washing the dishes one night, and it's kind of one of those style homes where the sink and the counters are looking into the parts of the other house instead of like out a window or something like that. And Andrew was just sitting there in a t-shirt and sweats, just laying on the couch, just doing nothing. And I was washing these dishes, just looking at it. And I was just mesmerized, going, wow, that is an awesome woman right there. And it was just like, I don't know if I broke any dishes or not, but I was just sitting there, I was just like in a trance, just going, wow, she is just one quality woman. So, but I was still stuck in my plans, not God's plans at the moment. And then, you know, a week or so later, I had this dream, and it was real clear to me that this was actually the woman for me in my dream. It was just like crystal clear that I need to really pursue this woman. So she finally came up to me one day because she, never mind, I say that because I don't want to embarrass you. She came up to me one day and asked for a piece of gum. It sounded like trouble. She came up to me one day and asked for a piece of gum, and I said, well, if you go out with me, if you let me take you out to dinner, I'll give you a piece of gum. And so bribery, whatever works, right? So she said, okay, I gave her a piece of gum. I had to go out to my car, get her a piece of gum. We went out on our first date, and basically the rest is history from then on out. But from that, we got married, obviously. We dated for...
1 year and 3 months.
And we're engaged for...
6 months.
She's much better with the details about things, so... And so from there, it was a real exciting time for us. It was a hard time, but it was a real exciting time. And once we got married, we only had one vehicle between the two of us. So we bought this truck, and with less than 100 miles on it, I threw a rod. And so it was, I had to replace an engine, and it drained our savings account to zip. And then in February, we were married in November. Then in February, we just had this, like, black cloud just come, like, settle on us. It wasn't, like, over us just raining on us. It was, like, settled on us. And it started off, my dad had a real serious heart attack. He was, they took him down to the cath lab, and he was shocked 11 times right in front of me to get him back. I remember the doctor climbing up on top of him going, and, you know, he was like thumping on his chest, and he's like, Dave, come back. And then they're all zammer. You know how that goes, and just like in the movies, and I've seen a lot of that too. But so that's how we started off, and so we were in the hospital. My dad, it was a real serious heart attack. They told him that he would only have 5 years to live after that, or he'd have to get a heart transplant to live on further. But we just praise the Lord because it's been 12 years now, and he's doing great. I mean, he's in great shape, and he doesn't realize it yet because he's a stubborn pagan, I like to call him, but the Lord's really working a miracle in his life because he's just a walking miracle. A lot of people are praying for him. My mom's a Christian, and then us, and we're all praying for him all the time, and he's a walking miracle, so we praise the Lord. But that was a rough thing. I lost my wallet, and, of course, it was a time where we already drained my savings account, and we might only had like $40 in my wallet, but that's a lot of money with all your credit cards and all that kind of stuff. In the hospital, you know, I just sleep in the couch, and it fell out, and someone took it, and then like 4 months later, they called me up. Oh, I got your wallet. Funny. And then Valentine's Day, it was Valentine's Day, I think, right? Valentine's Day. This lady, we lived in a little two-story, one-bedroom apartment where, you know, it was garden style, where there's rows of apartments on the bottom floor and the second floor. And we're on the second floor, and kitty quarter down from us is this lady who, she was on oxygen for a lung problem, but she liked to smoke at the same time. So she ended up catching the place on fire, and so it caught. We didn't, like, lose anything permanently, but it sent all kinds of smoke and heat into our apartment as well. And so everything was black. Andrew was away at that night. I slept there one night, and I woke up. I was like, bleh! I was coughing up black stuff. And so I realized, oh, you know what? We're not going to stay here when Andrew gets back. So luckily for us, somehow, even though I'm a very frugal person, or as my wife says, cheap, luckily, we had renter's insurance. So for anyone renting, get renter's insurance. It's like $25 a month because they came in, they cleaned out everything, all our clothes, all our furniture. I mean, everything. They just came in, cleaned it out, and we're done. They put us up in a hotel for 10 days, although it seems like it's nice, but when you're working, a hotel is miserable because you don't have your food and everything. But so then the first night we get into the hotel, at least we have clean air. My mother-in-law, well, we didn't know this at the time, but we get a phone call at 12 o'clock. And when we first got married, Andrew's mom called like 5, 6, 10, 12 times a day. It was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So when I'm dead tired, I got to go to work the next morning, and at 12 o'clock we get a call. I'm like, what do you want, Mary? Well, it was important for once. But her, Andrew's brother, Shane, he had just been hit by a car crossing Highway 12 in Sassoon. He was riding a bike across Highway 12 in Sassoon, and he was medevaced up to UC Davis. So then we went back into the hospitals and stuff. So during all this time is what we were doing, actually, Andrew and I. We were preparing to go overseas for to be in full-time ministry. So although we were working and everything, we were raising support and just getting all the stuff you need to get together to get yourself overseas to work for the Lord. And my brother-in-law comes up to me after this month, and he goes, so are you still going to go over to Poland? And I looked at him, and I was like, well, that's a dumb question. Of course I am. That's what God's called us to do right now. So without a waiver, without even a doubt, I was going. And he's like, yeah, but your dad, he's like, you know, on death's door. And I go, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, this is what the Lord's called us to. So we got to stay faithful to our calling and stay faithful to what the Lord has planned for us. So that summer we left for Poland. And like I said, my dad's doing great right now, and we just praise the Lord for him. He hasn't realized that he's a miracle yet, but he will one day. So we went over to Poland. Basically, in Poland, I'm just going to be brief about this. My wife's going to share about what God did in our lives over there, and I just want to share just a quick glimpse about what we were doing over there. Basically, we were working with a local church prior, most of the time, and I was like preaching on once a month, and we were working with the youth group there. Andrew's leading some English classes. We'd go on like we'd be like chaperones for high school trips, and then we also led some international conferences in the summer and led groups of teams of actually youth to like Randy's age, old people. what? sorry, it slipped. And so. No, and of these groups into different Eastern European countries just to share Jesus with them within the local churches, however they wanted to minister, whether it be English camps, whether it be street ministries, whatever it was, we would figure out a way to get it done for them. And anything else that I'm missing on that? No. So then Andrew's going to share with you what the Lord did in our lives and some of the struggles we went through while we were there.
Well, when we were in Poland, it was the best thing for us, for our marriage. Like Paul said, my mom called a lot when we first got married, so it was obviously a good thing for us to be away from our families. I never lived on my own, and Paul did, so it was good for me just to have that detachment time, kind of, to have time to spend with Paul, and just an amazing time of seeing God providing everything for us, his provision in our marriage and us growing closer financially for us to get to Poland. In our marriage, too, just with one thing Paul's learned, is just the spending time together. We lived in the same place, obviously, but we worked in our apartment also. So he had to realize that that wasn't quality time. He thought it was quantity time, but it wasn't really us hanging out doing something together. He was so in another room, I was in another room doing stuff, preparing things. But we were just so blessed financially there. I mean, we didn't live on much. We had a simple life. Our washing machine drained into our toilet, and we showered, you know, on our knees with the shower like this. But we loved it. We loved the simple life of it. And I miss it a lot of times too. But there was just one time at the end of the month, we didn't have any money left, and we didn't really have any food left. And somebody invited us over for dinner, and we were grateful for that. And we went there, and it was hard to stomach what they fed us, but you know, they were being gracious with their food, and they fed us pickled herring. Yeah, and we ate it, no complaints. Dave, I see you like it back there. but it was just different ways of seeing God provide for us, even in things we don't like, but we're still provided for, well taken care of, and we can't complain about that. And then we also just learned with being stretched. If you're not flexible, you can't be stretched. And we had to learn to be flexible because things change all the time. Their schedule is different than our schedule. They don't quite have a schedule, and Paul kind of lost his schedule too when he was there. So but like with the language, we didn't speak Polish when we went over there at all. And right away, I was jealous because Paul had a friend that spoke English. He was Polish, but he spoke English, so he had a friend he could talk with right away. And my closest friend there spoke only Polish, and I only spoke English. So the dictionary was our translator, and it didn't work completely well because every word of theirs can be said like 48 times or something. So they didn't quite know which way I was meaning the word, but we managed to communicate by drawing pictures, by just looking at words, and just another way that how God provided for us, because that's just a need that we had. And then we had some struggles over there. We had a previous pastor back here fell into sin, and we were over there, so we couldn't quite, I mean, we dealt with it, but couldn't quite deal with it here. And then over there, we had a pastor that we adored, and he fell into sin. And so just so many things we saw, but just reminded us that God is the only one that's faithful. We can't depend on men. We loved them, didn't love what they did, but we loved them, and God still carried us through all of it. So we were just blessed. And one last thing, just being in different churches, the perspective of that, because we had just the whole variety, the whole range, as Paul calls it, the Lulu's over here. And the ultra-conservative Baptists over here. And in Poland, there's no unity in the church at all. They're completely separate. And there's only like a tenth of a percent that are each of these denominations. And they don't work together. They might a little more now, but they before were doing nothing together at all. But we were just blessed, too, in seeing that and being reminded of what Steve says often. We major on the majors and we minor on the minors. We don't need to worry about the differences. We can just focus on what we know that matters, is that Jesus came and he saved us. So that's what we learned in Poland.
Yeah. And just it just also brought back perspective to our commitment to Christ, that You know, it was hard at times. We missed a lot of weddings because we were at the age, we were young, where people were getting married, our close friends and our cousins and different people in our lives were getting married. But we realized that, you know, it's tough, but the Lord's got a plan for us, and we just got to stay committed, and He sees us through, and He just brings so much joy and happiness with that. And, you know, we kind of say, Andrew and I, we're always content, but we're not satisfied. We are always hungering for a little bit more. A little bit, we can improve ourselves a little bit more. We can learn more. We can be better people. So there's that factor of just being content, but knowing that His kingdom comes first in our lives, and that everything else is second to that. And granted, you know, I have to work, I have to have a job, I have to provide, but at the same time, His kingdom comes first. And that was a big lesson that Andrea learned too, and it's carried over, is that sometimes plans have to change because there's an important thing at the church that needs to get done, or there's someone I need to go have coffee with, or she needs to go have coffee with, and we need to change or rearrange things because kingdom business needs to be taken care of. Or even, you know, simple things like, I know there was a time where we were doing work on the church and we were hectic at home, and Andrew's all, just go take care of it, I release you. And just for me, just having that release to actually do ministry, to go hang out with men, or to go do work at the church, or whatever, you know, that is, to do tile, yeah. But so that was just a big lesson that we had to learn, that the kingdom comes first and everything else comes after that. And if we're not living with that, it makes it a lot more difficult. And so, excuse me. So once we came back, we were truly hoping that we'd be coming back for like a furlough and then just shipping back over there. We were invited to lead one organization area, and then we were also invited to come join another organization. And I was really excited, and I was like, yes, we're going to be over there. It's so much fun. It's all we're focused on is the Lord. We're just doing what He wants of us. And so we were excited, but we wanted to come home before we made this major decision in our lives, because that was going to be, we were going for good, basically. But before we made that decision, we wanted to come home and be around those that we grew up with in the Christian church, around our Christian family, to get that support, that wisdom, that guidance from them. And then to just really seek it, not with the emotional attachment to it, to really seek the Lord from, you know, taking a step back and going, okay, Lord, what do you really want for us? And He said, well, I don't want you over there. And so here we are. But although it wasn't what I desired necessarily, it turned out to be what the Lord had planned for us, and great things have happened because of that. And He's got this great plan for our lives. We just got to seek it and stay faithful. So we came back. I got a job. I got my old job back right away, or both of them. And Andrea got a great job, and so we were provided for there. I knew I was heading into the fire service at this time, and so I needed to get a fire science certificate degree. And I was able to get all my classes. It's like a two-year thing. Because I already had college, it was only going to be a year thing for me. But I was able to get all my classes in 1 year, or in one semester, which is kind of the way it just lined up, that I was able to do all these classes in one semester. It was like 24, 25, or 6 units, and just get it and be done with it. And it sounds like a lot of units for those of you who are in college and not, but it's fire science, okay? It's not rocket science. So, you know, put the wet stuff on the red stuff and it goes out. So anyways, so it's not like some, but it's still though, is because I was working and everything, and it just, the Lord had a plan, it all lined up perfectly. And then I was able to get into the academy. It was 4 weeks in that academy. And during that academy, I turned in the application. I really wanted to work for the city of Sacramento. That was the first place I turned in an application. During that academy, I had my interviews. By the end of the academy, I was hired, and they put me through the rest of my training, and the Lord just had a step-by-step plan. He had told us that, you know, we're going to be up in the foothills, and we would spend our weekends, we would drive up 80, come across 49, shoot down 50, just kind of making the lap, seeing what we liked during the different seasons before we could actually afford to move anywhere besides my parents' house or something like that. And the Lord just really guided us to this side of the over here on the 50 side, and then, and so we're just super blessed with our home. when we bought our home, we were outbid by like six other people, but the lady, my wife was pregnant, of course, and I wrote a little letter, and it was like our 30th home we looked at, and we already opened escrow on one home, but we got out of it because of some issues, and we just, this was the home for us. We went back to it twice, and we're like, oh, Lord, we're not going to get this home, but please let us have this home. And she totally gave it to us. She credited us some money back, even though we were outbid and stuff, and it was just one thing after another, and then we finally came into this church. It was over on B Street at the time, and we had been looking for a church for a year, and we were trying to not just go one Sunday. We were trying to spend a couple months at each church that we went to really get a true perspective of the church, and we just weren't feeling like this is going to be home at any of these churches, and not because they were doing anything wrong. It just wasn't where we felt the Lord was calling us. And then one day we were at the New Wine Fellowship, the brick church on the corner of B Street and 49 right there, and we walked out of there, and Mike was jamming it, and the church is boom, boom. And so we're like, we're going there next Sunday. And so we went up there, and we just felt so loved. The priorities of the church, as Andrea said earlier, the understanding, the perspective that, you know, there's a balance in the church, but it doesn't matter. Nobody's perfect because we are in the church. If we weren't in the church and it was just Jesus, it'd be perfect. But because we're in the church, it's far from perfect. And so we're not perfect, but we're darn close. And not me, the church. And I'm far from it. That's why we're not perfect. But anyways, and we just fell in love. We were just so welcome and invited, and the worship was right on, and the preaching was right on. And it was close. We didn't want to travel miles and miles and miles to a church. And so we just praised the Lord because he did have a plan. It might not have been exactly what I was hoping for, but it was his plan, and his plan worked out for us, and it was crystal clear as we went along. Once we got rid of self. Since we've been here, as you know, a lot of you know, we have our four-year-old, Annika. She's had some issues, and we just wanted to share how the Lord's really, as Andrew calls her, our faith-making baby, and we just want to share briefly about how that child has really helped us in our walks, in our faith, and just the little miracle that she is. And so Andrew's going to start off sharing, I hope.
I keep thinking it'll get easier. Annika was born healthy, and then from 2 to 4 months, she lost a lot of weight, and we don't know exactly why. But she had progressed normally, and she regressed into like basically like a wet noodle. She has low muscle tone and no other diagnosis. So she started therapy when she was 9 months old, and I call her our faith-making baby because we've just been so blessed with her and seeing how much God has brought us through, and with her how much he's brought her through. And just her, she's very determined, which is good and bad. But she has, the doctor said she wouldn't walk. They said she wouldn't talk. And there's no diagnosis, so they can't give us any ideas of how things are going to be or what things are going to be. And we have just been blessed beyond measure with her. And I didn't share this Thursday, but I was thinking, and with Annika, we have been blessed just seeing our other two girls, because Juliana couldn't be a better big sister for her. She just told me recently, she says, Mom, Annika is in the best family she could be in. Because what if somebody didn't love her like we loved her? So she just is a wonderful sister. And then Sophia, when we had our dedication, Terry had a word for her, and it was so true that that God just gave her, Terry, like another middle name for Sophia, and it was Joy. And she has brought us nothing but joy. And it's been a blessing to have that with Annika's struggles, just to see, okay, we have just some peace and encouragement, and seeing Sophia developing well, but how they just spur each other on to develop and fight, but how they're developing. But it's just been an encouragement. And when we were at the LTT a couple of years ago, God just reminded me, Annika was not quite 2 yet, and Tyron was up there praying, and he was praying for the health of everyone's children there, and he prayed specifically for the spot where we were actually sitting, and he didn't know that, but he prayed specifically for wholeness for everyone's children there. And I cling to that with Annika when I see her development and her progress, that God will bring her, he'll make her whole. So that is just, that's what we've learned from her, or I have.
Like I said, we came through a phase where I started a career, bought a house, and we bought a fixer-upper. I mean, I know we were blessed to get the home, but it still needed a lot of work, and we took it as is because for some reason I thought I could do all the work, and I'm still doing it. And anyway, so Annika came, and my priorities were not on the church. My priorities were career and home. So I'd go to work, I'd work overtime, and I'd work on the home. Go to work, work overtime, and work on the home. That's all I did. Go to work, work overtime, work on the home. We weren't tithing. We weren't involved in any ministry. We were just getting situated in this church at this time. And so it was, she came along, and all of a sudden, the Lord kind of hit me upside the head and said, hey, listen here, knucklehead. You need to focus on me. You need to get back to where you need to be right now. And not to say that this was a discipline or anything like this, but it was a tool that the Lord used in my life to refocus me on his priorities, kingdom business, and doing what's right for God, and then worrying about the rest of the stuff. And it was a hard lesson to learn. It was a real hard lesson to learn, and it was a hard way to learn it, but it was what was needed in my life at the time. Because like I said, work, overtime to pay for the house, to pay for the work we were doing on the house, and working on the home. I mean, that's all I did. And then the Lord just said, pulled the reins back, said, stop. Get your family totally plugged into a church. Start giving back to me. Start serving me again, because that's what I've called you to. I've put you in where you need to be. I've brought you along your path so far, but right now, you're not really walking on it. We're not like in any kind of great sin or anything like that. Our foundation's solid, but our priorities weren't right. And at least my priorities weren't right. Andrew kept saying, we need to get a church. We need to start tithing again. I'm like, we'll tithe when we get a church that I'm really comfortable with. It's going to be our home church or whatever, just being greedy. So Annika was, for me, the refocus of our life again and to get me going straight again. And then the biggest part about Annika for me, too, is just the faith building that she is in my life, because I can get discouraged pretty easily when at 2 years old, my baby's not walking, and at 3 years old, she's not walking. It wasn't until right at 3 years old that she started walking. But right before that, I was just giving up hope. We had been going to doctor's appointments, and I was strapping her down to table so they could draw blood. And it was just, you know, every single doctor you can imagine. And when it came around three, when she's turning about three and she wasn't walking yet, and we're, you know, in five therapies a week or four therapies a week and stuff, and we're driving down to Sacramento for therapies and all this stuff, I was just going, Lord, I don't get it. She's not getting any better. And then all of a sudden, she just started walking. Bam. Right when I was getting so discouraged to the point where I was just losing all hope, the Lord said, she just started walking. She just got up and started walking one day. And, you know, I mean, she's still clumsy as all get out, but she's walking and running. And then, and it just went on. I mean, it was even, and then, you know, as you who have children know, you walk, then you talk, then you get potty trained. Well, then she wasn't talking. And so then I'm going, Lord, you know, I'm just like, I'm just discouraged. That's the bottom line, is I was just discouraged. I'm going, what's going on with this baby? She's, you know, old enough where she should be talking now. And right when I'd get to that point where I was just losing all hope, she started talking. And now, as you know, she knows her alphabet basically. And she's, you know, slurs her words a little bit because of her low tone, but she really communicates pretty well. And then it was potty training. We were trying for like a year and a half to potty train this kid. I mean, a year and a half is a long time. And it was just like a year. Okay. It's just, I'm stretching it a little bit, exaggerating. It seemed like an eternity when you're trying to potty train a kid. And right when I was to the point where I was done, the social worker brought in, or caseworker brought in, this specialist, not just some strange man, like I said on Thursday night, but some random guy off the street. No, but brought in this specialist, and he came in. He's a behavioralist. He deals with problem children, to correct behavior problems in children. He comes in, and we started working. We were filling her with 7-Up and apple juice and water, and she's like peeing all over the place. And we put her in pants. She's peeing everywhere. I'm going, this is not going to work. One of us is running to the bathroom. The other one's trying to clean up the floor. And then, and it was just a cycle for like the first 4 hours. And then I'm telling you, she's potty trained during the day now. And it's just incredible what the Lord's done in her life and where she's come. Because she really looked like she was on death's doors there for a while. For some of you who remember, I mean, it was a scary time. And she's done a 180, and she's a joy. She's happy all the time. She loves everybody. And we're just really blessed to have her. And I'm just so thankful for that. And again, part of how we got through all that, though, was the Lord did plug us into this church. And we had all of you who were around at that time plugging into us and encouraging us and getting us through that. And I just can't, you know, we're just, this church is, you know, I've seen a lot of churches. We've been involved in a lot of churches throughout the years. And this is a special church, and I'm just real thankful to be here. And I don't know if anyone's looking for a church out there or anything like that. This is a place to call home. We don't have any family in the area, but we always have people looking after us. And we just praise the Lord for that. And with that, I know Steve and Terry aren't here, but there are also people that just have really blessed us and really plugged into our lives and blessed us a lot. And we're just really fortunate to have the leadership that we do at this church, and just the things go well in this church, and you just can't beat it, in all honesty. And so with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Mike.
Very good. Hey, thank you, guys. Yeah. That's excellent. How's that for a plug for Westside Church, huh? Paul and Andrew are serving as deacons here in the church. They have a home group. If you guys have any more questions, you know, you like to get them to know them better, just get a hold of them after service, some other time. So I suspect there's things that they said that would encourage us as a body, individually, things that we could learn from some of the stuff they shared. So just keep that. Keep that. Think about it. What they've gone through, and how they've benefited, and what God's done for them, and how He can do the same for us. So, just close out now, and thank you all for being here. God, just be with us today. Be with us the rest of this week, Lord. I just ask you to bless these people as they go out today, Lord. And we just love you, and we want to honor you and serve you as we go out about our business, God. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a good week. Thanks for being here today.